Welcome to The Good Stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. So, Carissa.
Yeah. And I was doing a lot of that over the past, 10 days in celebration of Thanksgiving.
Were you growing, making, and enjoying?
Well, thankfully, the growing season is in transition since we finished harvest kind of in mid-November. And so now I'm, getting to just enjoy the wine, which is frankly my favorite part. Not that I don't appreciate all of our farmers out there. They're amazing. But I'm really happy that they do what they do so I can enjoy drinking the fruits of their labor.
Well, and I think, doesn't Steve always say, keep drinking because we're going to make more?
Yes. Yes, he insists, actually. So he's like, buy more Sonoma County, keep drinking, well, it's part of our theme of the good stuff. It's don't save the good bottles of wine, because our winemakers and our growers, every vintage, are putting so much energy and enthusiasm and passion into making the next great wine. So the future good stuff wine,
yes,
is what is happening
exactly
right now in tanks all over Sonoma County.
Yeah, we have your futures. Good stuff futures.
Good stuff futures. I know, yeah. We should think about that.
We should trademark that.
Totally. We should trademark everything. Just in case.
Including
someday.
The bubble bell. Bubble from Champagne Bell.
Yes.
All right. Well, our guest today is somebody that we both like a lot personally and professionally.
Yes.
Dr. Anisha Fritz. She is the owner and experience manager at Linmar Estate.
Which is like one small thing that she does.
I know.
Which is
I
sort
know.
Of hard to imagine, but she gets a lot done.
Well, right. And so I think over the years of when I was writing a lot about wine and being a wine critic, I certainly spent a lot of time at Linmar. It's one of my favorite places to go. It's one of my favorite places to recommend.
Yes, same.
I think it sort of shows everything that Sonoma County does so well between sustainability, gardens, wine, food, just feeling comfortable, feeling at home, and feeling welcome. And I think, that's an important thing to achieve that not everybody can do.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful, every time someone says, where should I go? And I want to be able to maybe sit outside. I want to be able to see the beautiful vineyards. I'm thinking about potentially a food experience along with my wine. And it's like Linmar. Go to Linmar and go sit outside, walk the gardens, walk the vineyards, and just enjoy. I mean, I think you just sort of take a deep breath and exhale when you walk into Linmar. That's how I feel when I go there. And I'm so excited we're talking to Anisha today, because she has been not only just a, frankly, badass woman in this business, but I've also considered her a mentor and a friend to me personally, and a champion of women and a champion of small business and entrepreneurship and the ability to just go do something you love, but make sure you're doing it and being smart about how you approach it. So you're setting yourself up for success, which is not always easy in this business. There's a lot of passion, but it's not, as people say, easy business to start, get into, and a really hard business to be successful at. So she's always provided a lot of great counsel and guardrails, not only for me, but I think for a lot of up and coming and now renowned winemakers and growers in our business.
Well, she had a career, she's had a career for a long time, an international career as an academic, but also a CEO in the humanitarian relief field. And so we can talk about that certainly. But I think to your point, it's a lot about the mentorship and the entrepreneurship. And to that end, Anisha continues to teach a wine business course at Sonoma State University. So we want to talk about that, kind of the mentorship, what it takes to build a business in the wine industry. I'd love to know a lot about what you see entrepreneurs doing well, what their mistakes often are. Are you seeing entrepreneurship change in younger generations? Like, I'd love to just know kind of everything about it, because it's a fascinating area.
And even how the wine community and the wine business has changed since Linmar started. I mean, I think, the experience has changed both from out in the marketplace, from the consumer experience, from what it's like to be a part of this community. And so as that evolves too, how do we stay relevant? How do we keep our enthusiasm fresh for it? And I think those are all things that she'll have a great perspective on.
Yes, absolutely. So when we come back, we will talk about all of those things.
Yes.
I don't know.
And like transition from like Thanksgiving, now we're rolling into all the December the holiday season fanfare. So I'm already dreading all of the music, all of the holiday music. I'm like a 1 or 2 day holiday music person. Like other than that, I'm good. Like that gets me in the spirit and then I'm out.
Well, I think Mariah Carey kicked things off a little too soon, didn't she?
Yeah, way too soon.
We'll be right back. Good stuff. We are happy to have Dr. Anisha Fritz on with us from Linmar, Sonoma State, and so many other things that you do. Thank you for joining us.
So glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So where do we begin? I mean, you're involved in so many things. You had a career even before you sort of took on the career of building out the guest experience at Linmar. Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of your journey to Sonoma County?
Sure. For me, Linmar is a culmination of pretty much everything I've done before. And I think for many women, you just evolve over the course of your life. And then whatever you land up with, you make the best of. So that's how I look
I
at Linmar.
Yep.
So I started out as an academic. Actually, before that, I came to the United States when I was 17 years old from India with one red suitcase. So it's a pretty unlikely journey. I came to go to college. I got my undergraduate degree, master's, and PhD, and I was a college professor for 10 years. And then I had the opportunity to research a not-for-profit that potentially could make a difference. And so after researching it, the person who asked me to do the research asked if I'd lead it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a co-founder of an organization called the Fritz Institute, which works to promote and improve the logistics of disaster relief, which is getting the right stuff to the right people at the right time. And I think disaster relief is at the forefront of everyone's mind right now with many natural disasters and wars around the world. And for me personally, I'm in touch with people on the ground in many of these theaters of war and disaster. And I am so admiring of the courage and the generosity of spirit it takes to do the work they do to help the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then I moved to San Francisco to start a company with Lynn, my husband, who was the person I started Fritz Institute with as well. And somewhere along the way, he said, I have this winery, but I have this dream of growing it to its full potential because it's in this magical part of the world where everything seems to thrive. And so that's how I came to Sonoma County.
And so that magical place is Russian River Valley, and we love it as well. Had you spent any time thinking about wine, thinking about anything in kind of the hospitality space before? I mean, it sounds like you were really in a different world.
I was in a completely different world. Now looking back, I see the common threads. So the heart that it takes to do work in disaster relief is very similar to the heart that it takes to grow and make and serve wine to people who love it. Because you really have to be open-hearted, I think, to work in the wine industry. So I'd never worked in the wine industry before. I had loved wine, but as much as a college student loves wine and goes to the grocery store and picks up bottles of wine. And then when I met Lynn, and he used to talk a lot about wine, I took a wine class at the university where I was teaching. And the wine class was right before the class that I was teaching. Mm. And that semester, I got the best evaluations. So I knew wine mind was the good stuff.
You were feeling good and positive and a relaxed, happy place. Well, that's why one of the many reasons we love wine.
For sure.
So where was Linmar kind of along its path at that time? It's always been estate grown, is my understanding. So the vineyards were already part of the program. The wines had a great reputation, I think, from the beginning. Was it more that the actual place needed to be inviting?
So Lynn bought the original property with 40 acres of vineyards in 1980, which was even before the Russian River became an AVA.
Yeah, we've just been talking and celebrating all the 40th anniversaries of six AVAs here in Sonoma County.
Exactly.
So that's 4 years after the Judgment of Paris. That's
amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when he bought the property, Mary Edwards was buying grapes from Quail Hill Vineyards for her label for Matanzas Creek.
Okay.
So at that time, for most of the first years, the grapes were sold to other wineries, Matanzas Creek, Etude, and others. And then they had a small label, Linmar, which was primarily distributed. There was no on-site hospitality at all. Mm-hmm. And in those days, there was very little.
Yeah.
But when Lynn sold his company in 2001 and sort of said he wanted to take Linmar to its potential, that involved building a gravity flow winery with caves and also a tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the first tasting rooms in our area. We opened in 2005, and that was our first foray with DTC. We had a small tasting room in Grayton before that. And that's when we started to see how people fall in love with wine and what a difference it makes when they know where it comes from, mm-hmm. and the story behind it. And then everything evolved from there, you know, because we understood that we were making memories, that we were going to be on tables while people celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like a great honor and a great privilege. And so we said, okay, how do we honor the people that come to our property? And from there, you know, the vision was always wine and food in a beautiful place with great people. And that's what we try and curate when people come to Linmar. And so we started to delve into what memories are made of, and it's being happy, but it's also feeling like you're in a place that has purpose and value.
Mm.
And so that's when we've always been sustainable, but then we started to really say, how can we push this to the nth degree? And, you know, we created beneficial borders for the vineyards, and that grew into planting a heritage flowers and pollinator-friendly gardens, and that grew into, you know, owl boxes for pest control. In fact, we were the first winery to have owl boxes in our collaboration with the Sonoma Wildlife Rescue.
Oh, wow.
We still serve as an orphanage for them when they have abandoned owl, because we have owl boxes every 2 acres. Mm-hmm. And they come and service our boxes, and when they have orphan owls, they know exactly which boxes have owls of the same age, and they place these owls in those boxes, and the mother owl takes care of the whole brood. And believe it or not, one owl family can eat 1,000 gophers a year.
That's incredible.
I know. And gross, really.
Oh, wow.
I'll just say.
You're happy that they're doing it because
it's very noble work for the owls.
Otherwise, gophers would eat all the
totally.
All the great,
no,
all the, yeah.
And I love owls. So,
But it's interesting because, like, the owls even sort of take your message of, you know, value and purpose and feeling of a place. And I know the people part of your business has also always been sustainably minded. And that's a whole other segment of sustainability that often doesn't get talked about. So do you want to give us a sense of that?
So we're very lucky at Linmar. We have very long tenured staff. Winemaker's been with us for 10 years. Our chef has been with us for 13 years. Our gardener's been with us for 10 years. And it goes on and on. The average tenure of our vineyard crew is about 15 years. And we say that because we they are part of our family. They are an extension of our family. When you have a family business, there's really no boundary between your own family and the families of the people you spend most of your days with. And so we've always benefited all our employees. We've always taken care of them. But much more than that, we take time to get to know their families and the situations they're in. And for example, when there are fires, everybody's invited to come to Linmar and stay, and we'll put mattresses on the floor or whatever we need to do. Several of our employees are married to firefighters. They are particularly vulnerable because they're so stressed out. Mm-hmm. And so we make sure that they're the first we call when there's a fire. So like that, over the years, you watch these children grow up. In fact, one of our employees has a son who's now 19 years old. I've known him since he was 4 years old, mm-hmm. and he's now a sophomore at Sonoma State in accounting. His mother is one of our housekeepers. She never went to high school. And so this is such a wonderful story. And that's what brings the values alive, but also infuses the guest experience with real life and makes it interesting because guests love these stories. And these stories are what we do in Sonoma County. I mean, this is how we live. We're so much more than wine because each of our wines is infused with these stories, with the lives of these people. And I think you gain customers one at a time, mm-hmm. and you gain them one at a time by making a personal connection. And these are the stories that build the bridge between the growers and the winemakers and the customers.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I think guests can sense when a place is cohesive and feels good and people feel included, and they can feel when it's not that way.
No, I totally agree. I was going to say that. I think it's one of those things when you arrive at Linmar, you don't even have to say any of those stories. You walk in and you're in it. And I think that feeling, it brings to life Sonoma County, but again, even further diving into, brings to life all of that purpose that you're talking about, yeah. specifically at Linmar. And as we were talking in the opening, I mean, just walking the gardens, walking the vineyards, and the openness of, and the access, I think, is the other piece that's really important of that. It's not everyone has the opportunity to have a tasting experience out in a vineyard, but to be able to do that and have that all open and available to you to explore is really important to see, mm-hmm. feel, and bring that experience to life. So right. It's a very magical place. I'll give you that. I think completely so agree, which is why I'm always excited when I get invited to lunch with you, and when even more excited when you're like, why don't you just come by Linmar and I'll have the chef make us something. And it always starts with popcorn, which
yes.
literally is like one of my favorite things in the world. And he does such a fabulous job using all the sort of ingredients from the garden to infuse these incredibly creative versions of popcorn.
Our current version is shiso and Chardonnay.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Let's stop the show right now.
I know. Let's go. Yeah. We're going to wrap up on, we're going to go on
leave a little
live
early.
Remote, right? Yeah. I mean, it's Saturday. Let's go.
Another
Come
live
on.
Remote.
I think Michelle's like, how many are we doing, right? Yeah. We're building a long list of live
this
remotes.
This might be first. I'm wondering just, you know, as you were sort of building out the guest experience and thinking about these gardens and the culinary program, all of which are very intensive and hard to do, like, did you have inspirations? Like, did you visit places that made you feel the way you wanted people to feel at Linmar, or was it more that you saw so many places that didn't make you feel comfortable and, you know, you had to create it really from your own vision?
I think realizing that when you have an ultimate experience, it fills you up and you talk about it and you want other people to have it. And so it started there. But for a specific example, I remember waiting outside Bouchard Gardens in Victoria and waiting for it to open. And there were lines and lines of people and children crying and, you know, how it is before you go into a theme park or something like that. And then the gates opened and people walked in and suddenly there was a hush because the gardens were so beautiful. Everybody quieted down, and you could literally feel the temperature drop and people's nervous systems calming. So I guess for me, that was a pinnacle experience, and I sort of said, we can do this, you know? And I see it happen now at Linmar when people walk in and they see the flowers blooming and the butterflies and the hummingbirds. There's a little moment of awe. And when that moment of awe happens, people's hearts open. They have better conversations. And when they have better conversations, they enjoy the wine more. The happiness level is amplified.
Mm-hmm. No, I love to think of Linmar. It's not a wine tasting. It's actually an experience with family and friends that comes with wine.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And so, and the wine's the thing, the reason you might show up, but it's not the thing once you're there.
And I think the people we attract are people who want to be part of making something excellent.
Yeah.
And so Chef David, for example, has been with us for 13 years, and every year he's better. Not because we ask him to be, but because he chooses to be, and he puts the time in to be. Yeah. And so then everybody he hires comes into that culture and sort of either makes it or doesn't. But then the people who stay support each other in this excellence and hold each other accountable, and it lifts everything.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and there's so much more to talk about. So when we come back, I think we'll get a little bit more into entrepreneurship in the wine industry, ways that you've mentored people. And
we have to talk about so TEDx.
Yes, we have to talk about TEDx. Okay.
Yeah, can't forget that.
Okay, we better hurry back.
And we're back on The Good Stuff. This is Carissa Cruz, and I'm joined with my co-host, Virginie Boone, and our guest today, a dear friend and just powerhouse in our Sonoma County community, the wine community, and really the broader community, a gift, Anisha Fritz. I'm excited to have you here for so many reasons. We've talked about all things Linmar and why we love Linmar, and we should just mention a delicious wine. Like amazing wine.
Well, yes.
Like we haven't even talked about the wine, which is kind of cool, and that you have this whole experience, and we're not.
It's a given.
It's a given.
I mean, I think
for
Linmar
sure.
means amazing wine.
We've gotten to know each other over the years. We've had a lot of, as I said at the top of the show, I've really appreciated your just counsel and the ability to have conversation and run ideas by you and kind of a sounding board. And then you invited me to be a TEDx speaker, which I was very honored, and then petrified, quite frankly. And I love public speaking, but that's a whole nother thing, because TEDx is it's the real deal. It's an interesting challenge, I think, as a speaker, but certainly you've been emceeing it. You've essentially the co-founder of TEDx in Sonoma County, Sonoma County TEDx. Am I getting this right? Somewhat
no.
Right. Not at all. I'm going to shut up now and actually let our expert talk.
Tell us about TEDx in Sonoma County.
Tell us, right, well, all the wrongs I've just said.
But this show is called The Good Stuff.
It is.
And that was the title of your TEDx
it was.
Talk. And sort of the essence of your talk was, don't delay the good stuff. Make
right.
the most of every minute. And I think that's the nugget people talk about even to this day. You know, I think good stuff became sort of a mantra. You know, it was like yeah. Sonoma strong.
Yes.
It became a mantra in Sonoma County because it was, you know, soon after we had so many disasters, you gave this very positive and optimistic talk. And it filled people's souls
yeah.
to a certain extent. And that's what TEDx Sonoma County does. So our county has so many wonderful things with food and wine and interesting people. But one gap was this intellectual vibrance. You know, we do have a university. We have some great schools in our community. We have very smart people. But there didn't seem to be a place where people could gather. Sonoma County TEDx actually started 11 years ago at Sonoma Country Day School. And I got involved about 6 or 7 or 8 years ago because my son was a student at that school, and we came in as sponsors and supporters. But when the license holder about 4 years ago said they didn't want to hold a license for TEDx Sonoma County anymore, they asked me if I would take over the license, and there were some qualifications you needed to have. So I did. And
see,
then,
otherwise the founder of TEDx Sonoma
right.
County. I knew we'd get there.
I know. It took a little explanation, but yes.
And it is an amazing event. I do emcee it. We have about 700 people that come in and about 12 speakers who each speak between 10 and 16 minutes. So it's a 4 to 4.5 hour program. In 2024, it will be on March 2nd. We have an incredible lineup of speakers. So we vet these speakers, and then they work with speaker coaches for about 3 months before they actually go on stage. So what you see is really world class. And then these speeches then go on the TEDx Sonoma County and sometimes on the Big TED site. And so they continue to enrich people's lives. So I'm very proud of the event. I'm very proud of all the people that get involved. And we have a very exciting program for 2024.
No, and it's so inspirational. I mean, once I finished mine and got to sit in the audience for the rest or in the green room and were able to see some of my peers that day, it just, yeah, there's so many great stories. And to tell it in a way that's very curated, but takes people on that journey in that 10 minutes. You go through an entire journey, literally, in 10 minutes, which is just amazing. I love that it's in our backyard. And to your point, to have that sort of salon experience of conversation in Sonoma County is just another reason why I think this community is so wonderful. So I very much appreciate that opportunity. And the inspiration to share the good stuff, which is now
right, on an ongoing basis,
a column, a show. I mean, we're gonna be syndicated soon all over the world, obviously.
worldwide.
You know,
we'll have jets.
Yes,
yeah. It's all gonna be amazing. But back to maybe the conversation on, you know, just intellectual stimulation here in Sonoma County. I mean, you do a lot of teaching at Sonoma State. You mentioned that there's a university here, and that's the one, and which has tried to embrace the wine business as a course of study. What do you, so tell us a little bit about the courses that you teach and sort of the people that you meet there.
So as I said before, I used to be a college professor.
Right.
And when I moved to Sonoma County and I was missing that intellectual vibe, I went to the dean of the business school, who at that time was Bill Silver, and I said, I used to be a college professor. Do you need an extra hand? I'll volunteer. And so he said, yes, of course. And starting February, I will be teaching for the 13th year. I teach a course called Wine Business Entrepreneurship. And it is a course for people who own wineries, for the next generation who will be taking over wineries, general managers, CEOs of small wineries in particular. Because I learned by working in our own winery that it's much more complex than it appears to be. And there, most people are fascinated by the romance of growing and making wine. But after you grow and make wine, you actually have to sell the wine. Otherwise, you can't pay for your vineyard labor or for the glasses or for the shipping or your employees. And so there is this whole other component, which is a business of wine. And Sonoma State has a whole range of courses teaching the business of wine, which is wonderful because these are the next generation of our winery professionals. But there seemed to be a gap in what about the people who are running wineries now? Because many of the wineries are run by very talented winemakers or people that came from other industries. And our industry in particular has certain nuances that are unique and different. For example, you make wine in 2023, but you won't sell this vintage probably till 25 or 26. So you're not going to earn the revenue on the wine you grew in 23 till 2026. And so somehow you have to make it through those 2 years with cash that you got from previous vintages. And that's a sophisticated cash management skill set that not everybody has. So people seem to think that all you have to do is grow wine, make wine, and market wine. But there's many things in between. It is, how do you grow and mentor your employees so that they can take over bigger and bigger jobs, so that they become more valuable to the whole industry? How do you curate the customer experience in a systematic way so that when you want to improve on it, you know which levers to turn? How do you track customer data, you know, to know what your customer preferences are? How do you know what's going to happen in the future? You know, do you just read Nielsen reports and assume that, you know, wine tastes are changing and everybody is younger and only wants sweet wine? Or do you, is there something in between? So there are all these other nuances that very few people talk about, but that are so critical to growing our companies and being successful as the industry consolidates. Small wineries become more and more precious. Our stories become more and more precious. And mm-hmm. so I'm really on a crusade to try and save small wineries, to get them to collaborate with each other, to share resources, to support and help each other, because in my opinion, that's where customers want to be. And then we grow customers for the bigger wineries and for the larger yeah. enterprises. Yeah. And so that's what I do.
Well, and I've been a part of one of the dinners where you've hosted some of your previous students who continue to get together and collaborate on this. And I think what I appreciated, even in how you set that evening up, is that, especially in small business, you can't just be everything to everyone. So you've really encouraged, if not forced, in sort of the business planning process with these folks to really choose who they are, who they're going to market, what is their point of differentiation, so they can really expend their resources on that piece of it and figure out if it works or not for them, because exactly. they're going to learn along the way. So to have that kind of focus is incredibly important.
So this, if I can say one more thing.
Yeah.
So I'm teaching the Wine Business Entrepreneurship class again, starting in February 2024.
So sign up.
It's 8 weeks long on Zoom, 3 hours on Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 8:30. And it's really a time for people who own wineries or vineyards or want to take time and build a business plan.
Yes. Which yeah. is critical. I mean, it's amazing how many businesses don't have business plans.
And a business plan not only says who you are, but it is who you're not.
Yes, yeah, that is critical.
Very true. Well, we will come back soon and resume our conversation with Anisha Fritz. Back on The Good Stuff with Anisha Fritz and Carissa Cruz. We have been talking about a lot of very serious topics having to do with the wine industry and how tough it can be and how, you know, how much you get people to really think about their business plan, which has got to be pretty daunting. But I commend the people who sign up and at least ask for help, because that's half of it, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But maybe we get into a little bit more fun topics.
Let's do it.
Should we? Is it kind of a hot seat question?
Kind of hot seat. Yeah.
We don't have hot wings.
We should have brought hot wings. Hot wings for the hot seat.
Hot wings for the hot seat.
We'll put that on the list for next time. The good stuff, hot wings.
Yeah, since it's the good stuff, we like to have good fun. I think one of the questions we wanted to ask you is, what is something that could always make your day better?
Wow, that's a good question. Nature. Even in the rain, you know, the vines are so beautiful, and so beauty makes me feel better, especially natural beauty.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel that way too. How about you, Carissa? Anything that can make your day feel better?
Everything.
The bubble bell.
No, I'm kind of with you. Nature. Even last night I was at a dinner and I walked into my home. My husband's on the couch. He's drinking a glass of wine. I poured myself a little glass of wine and just sat down and was like, okay, this moment, mm-hmm. just that moment, that space. I think the space for community, the space for relationships, for conversation, all of that. And then if it's a bad day, I go for a really hard run and listen to really loud music.
Yeah,
and that totally gets me going, like endorphins all in. Yeah. How about you? Are you...
I would say nature for sure. I mean, I feel very strongly that I'm happiest in a place where the ocean's not too far away and I can see vineyards. It's kind of all I need, I've decided.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better place to live then.
Well, I mean, do you think I did it by accident? Do you think I just landed from a plane?
I've searched the world and here I am.
Yeah, no, but it makes me very grateful when I do travel, and I love to travel. Travel is a lot of my background, and there's just, yeah, it can't compete.
And my puppy.
Oh, yes.
And dogs.
Oh, pets.
Yes, and I have two of those that make me very happy as well.
Well,
so.
I have three rescue cats, and they're a lot of fun, too.
And they're dog size.
They're dog size, one of them at least. And the other follows me around like a dog and fetches.
Yes.
So I guess dogs or cats with dog traits.
Absolutely.
It's all good.
Yeah, any animal, really.
Any animal.
Baby owls.
Oh, yeah, and owls. So we're going to shift gears. We talked about nature, so we're going to go to technology. And I'm going to actually flip the question. What is your most used emoji? On text messaging or anything?
Well, people get mad at me, but it's not an emoji because I haven't graduated to emojis. I'm probably the generation before emojis.
Do we have to page you to come today? Was that?
It's the exclamation mark.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I remember one of our winemakers once sent me a message saying, "Are you mad at me?" And I said, why do you ask? He said, there are 6 exclamation marks in your text.
Do you know what? I am a big fan of the exclamation mark as well. And I actually reread my emails because then I'll be like, oh my gosh. I'm like, good morning, exclamation point. And then I'm like, how's your day? Mine's great, exclamation point. And I'm like, we should get together, exclamation point. And I'm like,
wow. Is it 3 too many?
I'm like, there's a lot of enthusiasm in this email about like, and when are we having a meeting?
Exactly. You know? And so now I limit myself to 2. So I have to go back and put commas and periods.
Totally. The commas become way more popular. It's not. There's no energy in a comma. It's
certainly
a pause.
Not in a period. It feels like.
Yeah, there's a pause and an end. I want like, woo.
So they have to come up with an exclamation mark emoji.
Totally, we need that.
Right, that's just happy.
Yeah, yeah, like not big emphatic. Eyes. The big right. eyes with a smile versus the what?
Yes. Yeah. And a white wine emoji would be nice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we totally need the white wine emoji. I overuse the bubble emoji if that's possible. So
I think we're wrapping up our time with you, Anisha, and thank you so much for visiting. Can you give us a sense of where people can find you? LinmarEstate.com?
Yep, LinmarEstate.com. AnishaLinmarEstate.com is my email, but please come out and visit Linmar, rain or shine, spring or fall. It's very beautiful.
As we've established.
And the food
and
will
the
be
wine
seasonal.
Is amazing.
The wine is amazing.
And popcorn and Chardonnay, and popcorn made with Chardonnay.
Exactly.
What could go wrong?
And I think you mentioned TEDx Sonoma County.
Yes.
Okay.
March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Get your tickets.
Can't wait. Carissa, another incredible conversation.
Yes.
Feel very inspired.
We have great people in our community.
I know. And nature.
And nature.
And
pets.
Wine.
And dogs. And cats that
right.
act like dogs.
I know. I mean, why? We really don't need anything else.
We're super lucky.
We are really, really lucky. And so that's good that we're on a show called The Good Stuff, where
right?
we appreciate the good stuff. But let's talk about Tuesday Night Wine, because that's another part of your TED Talk.
Yeah, right? Drink the good stuff on a Tuesday night. Don't wait.
Why wait?
And drink it every night, frankly, because as we've established, my
depletions.
Husband says,
depletions.
They'll make more. So my Tuesday night wine, I'm actually going to do a kind of a shout out, because Anisha had mentioned Mary Edwards using and creating some of the original grapes and making some original wine to what is now the Linmar Estate. So I'm going to actually pull the cork on the 2020 Mary Edwards Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. I'm in full Pinot Noir like phase right now that we're in December, because it's like the holidays and, you know, you get some rain, a little bit chillier nights. I'm drinking a lot of Pinot and bubbles, of course, but a lot of Pinot.
Well, I mean, I could drink a Linmar Chardonnay or Pinot Noir every Tuesday night and be very happy.
Well, that's my Monday night wine, because I want to start the week right.
Okay.
You got to start the week right, and then you roll to Tuesday night.
It's my
night.
Tuesday morning wine.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so my Tuesday night wine this time is a Bonovia 2022 Sauvignon Blanc, actually.
Oh, wow. Sauvignon Blanc.
So I am drinking a lot of red like you this time of year, but throw it in there every once in a while just to start things off. Crisp, nice Sauvignon Blanc. It's from their Martella Vineyard, also nice. Russian River Valley. So we're all things Russian River Valley today.
Well, that's a good way to celebrate. So you should definitely check out LinmarEstate.com. Make an appointment to go visit the beautiful little slice of heaven and nature with great wine and great food and company all there.
And seasonal popcorns.
And seasonal popcorns. What's not to love?
Yeah, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Good Stuff Hour today. And thank you to our guest, Anisha Fritz. For more information about Linmar, you just gave the URL and the classes she teaches at Sonoma State. Don't forget about that.
Right.
From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.